Right, it's 16 minutes past two. Wendy Nola is with us in studio. Thanks for braving the rain to come in, Wendy. And glad, given that we're about to go to stage four load shedding, just as well that we've got you with us.
Indeed.
Okay. We are going to be taking a look at quite a number of travel issues today, and then we'll also update you on what's going on with Virgin Active and the many, many upset customers who weren't expecting to see a debit order go off and then did. Before that, though, we took that voice note before the break, Wendy, from somebody who wants to fly to Gauteng, I assume, to drive to Heidelberg for his son's wedding in November, and is obviously feeling very nervous about the risk of how to book, where to book. Any advice?
So as I said off air, all the airlines, certainly internationally, and I would imagine locally as well, are building a lot more flexibility for their would-be customers, so that they feel comfortable in flying, that the risk is of them losing everything is reduced. So free changes and postponements and that kind of thing. But I suppose the real risk is if you can't, I don't know, is it not getting there or not getting compensated if he doesn't? I suppose it's a bit of both.
You need to be sure you're going to get there if it's a wedding.
So, so whatever compensation and postponements are involved, it's not going to help you if you don't get there. So I think, I mean, nobody can we, what 2020 has taught us is that we can't actually be sure of anything not going wrong with our plans. So I would say investigate the travel insurance options. Look at the airlines that are flying, I would imagine, to either Lanseria or ORT regularly, and, you know, landing on time and all those sorts of things. If you've got to be somewhere at a certain time, that's important. And then, investigate travel insurance, which I'm quite sure those premiums have skyrocketed along with the increased risk, and ask for the airline what flexibility they build in. But other than that, you know, that's the best you can do. There's no 100% guarantee of everything going right in such cases. All we can do is make sure we're compensated. If we're not, how you get compensated for missing a wedding, I don't know. But
that's the difficulty, isn't it? Okay, thanks for that update. A few people already asking, will City of Cape Town be on level 3 if Eskom's going to level 4? I'm going to ask my producer to just double check on the City of Cape Town website whether there's been any communication on that, and we'll get back to you as soon as we have confirmed it either way. Okay, Wendy, we've talked a lot about this issue in the last 5 or 6 months. Everybody knows COVID-19, as you've just said, has played havoc with travel plans and bookings. And some people have been happy to take the postponement and the voucher, like that wonderful voice note for the person who's going to Tokyo instead of Turkey now, or wherever it was they were going. Some airlines are still refusing to issue refunds, SAA among them. And then to compound the problem, we are now starting to see a wave of liquidations of travel agencies. So the question of the day is, where to from here for travellers?
Well, indeed, it's not a simple answer. That the story has changed quite a lot in the last 5 months. So people who were initially happy to take a postponement, now it's going on month after month, and they now got to the point where they don't actually want to travel next year or even the year after. They're just calling it quits on the travel thing, especially older people. And now they want a refund, and there's a lot of pushback, and at best, there's a lot of delay in that process, as you can imagine. So in normal circumstances, as we keep saying, and as Mkhathi Mpahlele, the Consumer Goods and Services Ombud, says at every opportunity, if a consumer doesn't get what they paid for, and it's not because they cancelled, it's not if through any fault or reason of theirs, they are entitled to a full refund. That's what the CPA, the Consumer Protection Act, entitles us to. But as we all know, these are very far from normal times now. So this whole process involves a continual exercise and give and take. A pandemic halted all travel, and in South Africa, international travel has yet to resume. So now we're asking refunds of people who have got no chance of getting any income out of the South African market. Domestically now, finally, yes, but not internationally. All the consumer protection agencies, journalists like myself, and the travel players, obviously, have been saying, please, please accept a postponement or credit option, a voucher option, anything but a refund, which will most definitely destroy many operators. But clearly, for those who do not ever plan to travel again because they're too old or too high risk, or there's an affordability issue, which is a very real thing for those that have saved and saved and saved and saved. I mean, travel insurance alone, as I just said, will cost pricey, a lot more. And who's going to risk traveling without that now? Would not be wise. So for those people, a refund is their only viable option. And their success has varied very widely among service providers. As you said, some airlines have just said no way. You know, SAA is under business rescue, Comair as well. Yeah. You know, that's a tough road. Emirates has led the way largely, with a few others as well up there, in terms of doing the best possible. So they've said, please, you know, postpone, please take a voucher, but if you really want a refund, you can do it. It's just going to take a few months, and they've kept to that. But yeah, and usually it was 5 to 7 weeks where they'd say you'd get refunded, and now that's pushed out in some cases to 24 weeks, ouch, I'm told. So that's the reality of that. So it's not only which airline and which hotel and whatever you chose, or which car hire company, in terms of how well you're doing with your quest for a refund. It's also whether you book directly or whether you book through an agency. So depending on the nature of the agency and their dedication or ability to be very consumer friendly, the agency route either helped you in that you don't have to haven't had to solo deal, make international calls and fight and stand in the queue with hundreds of thousands of others, but that the agency has stood with you and done all that for you, held your hand and got the results. But in the case of the agency that was either really not consumer focused in this time, just focusing on their own financial woes, or as we said, went into liquidation, the move to go through an agency was definitely a very, very bad, costly one. So there's all these variables in the pot as to how people are faring with this, in getting recourse for multitudes of cancelled bookings. Okay. Yeah.
Now, this morning, there was another email in from a customer of STA Travel, Desiree in Durban, and they're one of the agencies that are in trouble, Wendy.
Yeah, they are pouring in. STA announced that it went into liquidation, I think probably going on 2 weeks now. So Desiree says, my sister and I booked a trip with STA Travel to Bali for the 15th of August. Then COVID came and all was put on hold. We took a travel voucher that was valid for 2 years. Now the company has gone insolvent. We got a hold of our agent and she said she would get her manager to email us. We've tried to phone. There's an answering machine that says they'll get back to everyone who has bookings. But nothing, and they have 54,000 rand,
ouch,
of our money. And that story is replicated. I mean, I think we've had people calling in now in the last hour in particular, just pouring in, what do we do? What do we do? And the short answer is, and I hate this, for 22 years I've been telling people that gave money to companies that then went into liquidation of all kinds. You know, effectively the company's dead. If liquidators have been appointed, you then stand on a very long line of creditors, and their suppliers get first bite at that cherry, whatever's left, and you literally get what is known as a few cents in the rand, yeah, if anything. So that is tough. If you've paid by a credit card, there is some recourse for a chargeback in some cases, but I fear because bookings are made so long in advance that window would have been closed for most.
We had another STA customer on the line wanting to talk to us, and as I said, that the line dropped. So let me just see if Rafiq can get that caller back to speak to us. In the meantime, this is the latest from City of Cape Town. They have just tweeted, Eskom has advised the network is severely constrained and warned customers it will go to stage 4 load shedding from 3 until 10 this afternoon. The city will advise shortly on what customers can expect. So it sounds like they are not 100% sure just yet. We'll keep you updated as and when they come back to us. Okay, so Desiree in Durban with a terrible situation, 54,000 rand. We've got Dean back, who is on the line from Athlone. You're also an STA customer affected. Dean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. First time caller.
Welcome. Nice to have you with us. I'm sorry it's under these circumstances, though.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, I've spoken to the guy from STA who took my money in January, and he told me, don't worry, we'll get a voucher, or people can postpone to when we start again. But now, all of a sudden, I've gone under. So does that mean I lose my deposit?
I'm so sorry to tell you, Dean, that the answer is probably yes. Yeah, this STA story started flagging for me back in March when they changed their policy. Their policy initially allowed for a refund, and then they quickly changed it and said, we will no longer be providing refunds. We will be providing travel credit for the amount you have paid, less any cancellation penalties requested by suppliers. It'll be valid for 12 months. I think they then escalated that to 24 months. If Desiree's story is accurate, and then they went into liquidation. So it's been a long, hard road for many SDA customers, ending with a very unfortunate outcome. I'm so sorry, Dean. I hate being the bearer of bad news, but find out who the liquidators are. I haven't been able to establish that, and make sure you put your name in the pot. But I don't hold out too much hope for much of a refund, if any.
What sort of percentage of your travel had you paid as a deposit, Dean?
No. I paid it. It's basically 2,000 rand.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't too bad. So,
huge.
2,000 will help at the moment, but
of course,
not losing. It was not bad losing 54,000 rand.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for keeping some perspective on it, Dean. And I hope you get at least something. I mean, as you said, it's cents in the rand. It might not be the 2,000 rand, but maybe it'll be a little amount in the current circumstances.
Anything helps.
So, Dean, thank you and good luck to you. You also heard Wendy from Keshni, who had also booked a holiday. Hers was for a holiday to Thailand in May, also through STA Travel. Hers got a bit more complicated, though.
Yes, she also paid for travel insurance. We're talking about travel insurance here. So she gave up on her, I think it was 34,000 rand that she'd paid. But she thought, I want to get at least... she wanted to be paid out, but the insurance didn't cover that scenario.
Okay.
And then she thought, well, 1,000 rand, when she phoned and made inquiry, she was told with Alliance Global, and she paid her premium directly to Alliance, not to STA. And the person she spoke to said, oh, no, we've refunded the premium to the agency. So okay, she's now thinking, oh, okay, so
that's
double whammy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she took it up with me and said, is that right? Why should... they have refunded my money to the agency who didn't pay it over. I paid it directly.
Yeah.
And I got a response from the company saying that Keshni was miscommunicated to in terms of the Short-Term Insurance Act. An intermediary may not receive hold on to any premiums payable under the policy, and that they will be making sure that Keshni gets her money back within 3 to 5 working days.
Okay, thank goodness.
So
that's
she's
at least
getting
something.
1,020 rand, I think it was. But I have to wonder if I hadn't taken the case up, she would have been left. I mean, she didn't know it was miscommunication.
Well.
Yes, yeah. And how many? If anyone else is listening, who was also miscommunicated to, you are at least entitled to get the premium back from the insurer that you paid it to.
Okay, thanks. Very important to update that. Okay, we have somebody on the line with us who's going to give us a sort of a quite high level picture of what's happening at the moment, Wendy, because you've been doing some fairly high level research on this for us.
Yes, so it's a very, we consumers, passengers, when we make bookings, we don't understand the complexity of what's going on behind the scenes. In other words, what actually happens to your money, where it goes, and what is involved in the process of getting large-scale refunds made in an event like this, which is unprecedented. So they're dealing with numbers that they've never planned for. Yes. So... I spoke to,
I'm going to pause you there for a second. Sorry, because just like that, the time's galloped up to 2:30, and we'll come back to John Friel of TravelStart after the news headlines.
Lunch with Pippa Hudson. And now,
Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
Hello, Pippa. This is Pietru here. I booked a trip to Spitsbergen on a cruise north of Norway, and then was going to be followed with a week in Iceland for June this year. The trip to Spitsbergen was deferred to next year, and we were trying to get the money back from what we spent on going to Iceland. I queried at the time whether I could extend my policy because I am concerned that the company could go bankrupt before next year, or we would not be able to get a visa or a flight next year. They told me I can either claim or extend the policy. When I tried to extend the policy, they told me it was now too late. I had waited a month for their first reply. I then told them that I had sent everything in time, and that is now more than a month that it's been escalated to their superiors and they're not getting back to me.
Wendy, any response to that?
This is an insurance thing. Like I've had a lot of cases where the person has been offered a voucher, which is what Mechata Pashlele, the ombud, would say. If you can't use, there is an out to having a supplier having to pay a refund if they're not providing you with the service that you paid for, if they offer you a reasonable alternative. But the consumer has to agree that it's a reasonable alternative. So what's happened with a lot of older people in particular, or even anyone wondering quite justifiably, like our listener there, whether it's a too great a risk because the company may not be, they may have gone into liquidation as we're seeing it's happening, and saying, no, I'm too sick, or I'm too old to travel, I want the refund. Going to the insurer and being told, we did this case a while ago, that couple going on there to Italy for their wedding anniversary celebration, being told, no, because you were offered compensation by the cruise liner in that case,
we won't cover.
And I pushed that and I said, but it's not acceptable for them. It's worthless to them.
It's not
they're not going. They would be irresponsible to go with their high risk. And then they paid out. But only with an intervention from myself. Most people, which I found unconscionable, they're just giving the same excuse. So I don't know. This is sounds like they stalled and stalled and stalled and then said you're too late, which is also unconscionable. So I don't catch
it. Pietru.
Pietru, that's right. Pietru, if you wouldn't mind emailing me with that, the details of that case. Thank you for not mentioning the name, because I think let's give them the right of response first. I would very much like to investigate how they justify not paying out that claim.
Okay, so Pietru, you want to send an email to consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R, consumer@nola.co.za. Just put Cape Talk insurance query in the subject line, and Wendy will keep an eye out for it. Let's squeeze in one more voice note before we go to the next interview.
Hi there, Cape Talk. I had a ticket to go to the UK on British Airways on the 7th of April. And then, of course, we had the lockdown, and I've got a six-month visa for the UK, which comes to an end on the 11th of September. So I'd like to know if the UK visas are going to be extended, just like the Australian visas are. And then I was given an open ticket for a year when I went in to see them, only to discover now that they cancelled that and made me an offer of about a fifth of the amount of my ticket, which I've declined. And my agent is busy with their customer care line. My friend, who was meant to leave just 3 days before me, she got every cent back of her ticket. And all I want is a voucher or the money, the full amount. So I don't get it. Does it depend on your agency?
To a large extent, yes.
Yeah.
My parents were due to go to the UK on British Airways. They had a direct flight from Durban to Heathrow in May. It was to be their last overseas trip. And long story short, after quite a big fight, my mother dealt with him directly in the UK and got her money back. But listen to this. She'd been trying on her own and just not getting through. She phoned my cousin in the UK that they were going on a road trip with, intending to go. And my cousin phoned directly, the lovely English accent, and put my mother on speaker. Between the three of them, they sorted it out. And he said, yes, I can see you've tried many times. These are the sorts of bizarre sort of computations that are happening now. It's just
the inconsistency from one case to the next.
Inconsistency. I think it's just sometimes the squeakiest wheel. And as we're about to discover as well, and if you have a good agency with very strong ties and a large one that the industry that would not want to ignore, would not want to damage their relationship with, then things it's much easier than trying to fight it on your own. So,
okay, on the visa question, we don't have an answer
question,
to yet.
We don't know an answer, but I'm from the feedback I've got I don't know of a single case where they have extended it. Yeah, they'll say it's not our fault either. We did the work. good to hear that the Australian embassy has taken.
Yes, that was news to me. So thank you for that. Yeah.
So I think I must actually between now and next week just spend some considerable time getting definitive answers from the various consulates to find out what leeway, if any, they are giving. Yeah, but okay. I know that the UK is generally not
very flexible.
No,
they're not renowned for their flexibility in that office. I'll say that. Yeah. No. Okay. All right. So we'll try, and we have been trying for the record. We've been trying for several months to get answers to that question about the visas without success. But we will make another concerted effort. Okay. So we want to talk to TravelStart. You talk about the big agencies that the industry doesn't want to mess with, Wendy. This is one of them. And on the line with us is John Friel, who is TravelStart's head of supply. John, thanks for holding. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you on with us.
Great to be with you, Pippa. Thank you for having me.
Now, Wendy, do you want to maybe just introduce this interview? You've been doing some pretty high-level research on what's happening at an agency
level.
Yes,
so yeah. I think it's important for the listeners to get some kind of understanding about how the refund process works, because we just deal either directly if we make our booking on our own, or we go through an agency. They do it all for us. They tell us what we need to pay. We make the payment, and we don't understand the back end of what goes on and how many players are involved, and what needs to happen before that money lands back in your account. So, John, if we could start there, if you could fill us in layman's term and as succinctly as you can manage, as it is complicated, because that's the crux of many of these cases we're dealing with.
Absolutely. Yeah, Wendy, to go back to the very beginning of the transaction, when a customer makes a booking with an airline through a travel agency, we as a travel agent issue the ticket on behalf of the airline, and immediately upon the ticket being issued, we pay that money to the airline. That means that from that point in time, the airline is holding the funds. In a situation like we have right now, which is completely unprecedented, as we all know, we as a travel agent, you know, we sit with hundreds of thousands of customers that we care deeply for, who are all in exactly the same situation. And as a travel agent, you know, our job is to do the right thing for our customer. Always, our customer is forefront of our mind. However, are governed completely by the airline policy. And this is where it becomes quite complicated and very frustrating for the consumer. Some airlines are actually not allowing refunds at all right now, completely suspended. So meaning they're holding the customer's money, and we as the agent are unable to process anything on behalf of our customer. Some airlines are allowing refunds to be made. And those that are allowing refunds to be made, it is taking an awful lot longer for the refund to appear back into the customer's account. And that is just purely because of the sheer volume of refunds that the airlines are dealing with. So, you know, we 24/7, are open to chatting to our customers online, on email, on the phone, and we get the frustration, and it is absolutely dreadful. And a situation that the travel agent is actually completely, unable to control.
So I would imagine then that your agents are fielding quite a bit of, in some cases, misdirected, but still anger and frustration and perhaps accusations that the agency has in fact received the refund and is just failing to pass it on. Is that an accurate reflection of what's happening in some cases?
One aspect absolutely accurate, where we are fielding thousands of questions every single day, and to the point where we as an organisation have moved from selling to helping, and making sure that we can deliver the most accurate information that we have that the airline has given us to be able to relay that on to the customer. However, that doesn't preclude the frustration. Those customers are due money, and we are desperate to get that money back for them. So we are fighting on an ongoing basis. And when I say fighting, I mean we are working very closely with all of our airline partners to do the right thing. Just last week, an airline that had suspended refunds have now opened refunds to be allowed. You know, and I do believe that is because we have been working with them through the last couple of months to get them to do the right thing on the customer's behalf. So we are fighting for every customer because they are our most important asset.
So you must all be, you at high level in the organization must be quite skilled diplomats and negotiators at this point.
absolutely. All of our roles within the organization has changed. And in this current situation that we have right now, the most important thing that we're looking at is how do we get that money back to that customer as quickly as we possibly can. At the end of the day, the customer is king, and we are very, very proud of the fact that that is the case. But we also acknowledge the fact that there is a lot of frustration out there. A lot of people very upset. They're owed an awful lot of money. We've certainly become diplomats, and maybe my next role will be at the United Nations.
Before you move there, John, I mean, we are starting to see some international travel resuming, albeit very slowly. But there's no question the airlines are many of them in deep, deep financial trouble. What's your advice for those who are being offered the option of a postponement or a travel voucher in lieu of a refund? There are many people who aren't able to accept that or don't feel it's proper recompense given their particular circumstances. But just any comment on the benefit of taking that option of a postponement versus the risk of doing that?
Absolutely. To your first point, in terms of international air movement right now, all commercial air movement in and out of South Africa is still prohibited. What customers can do is travel on a repatriation flight if they qualify. And we are helping our passengers in that regard where they are able to potentially use the value of their ticket for a repatriation flight. I believe all airlines have offered the value of the ticket that was originally purchased to be kept. And some airlines are even awarding the customer a top-up value of 10% or 20%. So if you pay 10,000 rand for your ticket, you would enjoy an extra 20% on top of that. Obviously airlines are doing that to motivate people to travel when commercial travel opens up again. And we've been, very aggressively, giving that offer to our customers. And to be honest with you, a lot of those customers are willing to do so. Keep the value of the voucher and travel when borders open.
And in some cases, it's working out to their benefit. We heard earlier in the show from somebody who was planning a trip to Turkey, but thanks to the extra value he's getting on the voucher, will now be going on a long, hoped-for trip to Japan as a result. So there is, in this case, a silver lining for a few people.
Absolutely, 100%. And, that's the credit to the airlines, where they're offering that bonus to the value that you originally paid. We're very, happy that that is an option that the customers have, over and above the refund, So the one thing is for sure that people will not lose their money. They'll either get their money back, through a form of a refund as and when, or they'll be able to take advantage of these bonus voucher offers that I was just referring to.
Excellent. Thank you very much, John.
It's a pleasure.
Glad to have you with us on the line. John Friel speaking there from Travel Start. He is Travel Start's head of supply. And some interesting feedback. Wendy, just while we're talking about Travel Start, Mary messaging to say our trip to the UK was cancelled by BA and we've been told the repayments may take 12 weeks. It was booked via Travel Start. They think that seems excessive. What does Wendy think? Maybe 12 weeks is actually not so bad, given what you've said about what some people are facing.
Yeah, one of John's colleagues said to me earlier, an international colleague, a marketing director based in Dubai, he said that it was, I think I said at the beginning of the show, what it was 5 to 7 weeks pre-COVID, they are extending because obviously what they're trying to do, it's not just a logistical thing, Pepper, it's about liquidity. And one of the things he said to me was, if you take a voucher with an option to get a refund down the line, by that stage, the airlines, I mean, eventually South Africans going, I mean, SATA, the Travel Agents Association, is calling desperately for the opening of international travel, because there's no money, international ticket purchasing money coming out of South Africa. But, you know, and as other markets open up, so these airlines become more liquid and in a better position to refund, and then they will be quicker. But he said, it's not just a logistical thing, as a means of looking after themselves to protect themselves from going under, they've extended it. So he said up to 24 weeks. What is that in months? That's 5 months?
Six months.
Yeah. So, and there's nothing really stopping them doing that. So I say 12 weeks is sort of somewhere in the middle there. And,
It's not too bad.
And we've had an explanation here now from John Freeland of Travel Start in terms of, you know, they get the customer frustration, because who else must the customer go to? That's who they gave their money to. But the money immediately went to the airline, and now the agency is having to walk that line, try not to, you know, sort of do it diplomatically, but say, guys, you've got to give us our clients' money back.
Okay, thank you very much for organizing such a high-level guest and one with such a lovely accent that you can listen to all day. Wendy, I think we must just step away from travel for a second. I did promise that we would give some input on the Virgin Active issue, and I'm just watching the clock. This started yesterday with a trickle of a couple of messages. It turned into a flood of angry calls this morning into the breakfast show from absolutely irate Virgin Active customers demanding to know why their accounts had been debited yesterday and today, despite the fact that the company had assured them their accounts would remain frozen. And then to compound the problem, it's our good old friend communication, Wendy, because nobody at customer services was picking up the phone to answer called to ask about it.
Yes, well, that's I can understand.
We flagged it for you this morning, and yes, I know you went and did a bit of research. What did you find?
I did. So the same thing happened with the special offers that were being offered by the short-term insurance companies recently. They were offering discounts if you weren't using your car as much, if you weren't driving more than 250 kilometers a month or whatever. Mm. But from a certain amount, it wasn't automatic. You actually had to email and request it, because some people had gone back to work and was doing the normal mileage again, right? And then people got upset because they didn't do it. They missed that part of you must take proactive steps to opt in for it. So the same here, it appears, well, I knew this, but there was a certain email, freeze@virginactive.co.za, where it's very easy to remember, even for me, mm-hmm. And give your name and number and say you were not ready to go back to gym, please hold the freeze. So I think in many cases that was what happened. Virgin Active spokesperson Carla White told me, we've processed all the freeze requests received from members for our offer of a no-cost freeze extension for September and October. There are no conditions attached to this offer, and we've not extended contractual periods for the length of lockdown, which some other gyms have done, which they didn't tell people up front. We do have a batch of requests in which we cannot reconcile the details provided with what we have on our system, and I can understand that, because I write for Times Live, and my email address goes at the bottom of every one of the stories I write. And when I wrote a story about when they first announced the freezing of before lockdown of March, somehow people find that online, and then they see my address at the bottom. They email me saying, this is whoever, please freeze
my membership.
And most of the time they don't even give their membership number. So I can understand the logistical problems that the real Virgin Active must be having here. Basically, we've sent an email and asked for alternative details to match the member record. So there are some cases where it hasn't happened. Members are still welcome to contact us on any touch point that is most convenient to them, either our contact center or that mail I gave, freeze@virginactive.co.za, or on social media. They're very active on Twitter. Or visit the closest club, which you can now do, and chat to the member. If we missed a freeze request from a member, we will happily backdate and credit. And then I've had some complaints, one from Chanel Millers, who said her contract period actually ended in June. She gave written notice at the beginning of July and received acknowledgement only a month later, early August, a month ago. So July should have been her last debit in terms of that month's notice period. But she was debited again this month, which she was not expecting. A pro rata, as they put it, 928 rand and 66 cents, which is a big ouch. And I've been told by Carla, she didn't specifically answer to that one, but she said it is being attended to. They have got it. And I myself was debited, contrary to what I was told. So I was offered, when I went to cancel both my children's memberships in whenever it was, May, I got confirmation. And then they said, oh, please, we'd like to keep you. What if we give you a 25% discount for 4 months from the time the gym reopens? And I said, okay, fine. My children were happy with that. And then, so I was expecting a much reduced debit order today, and it was actually more. It was 140 Rand more. And when I queried it, they hadn't actioned it. They had a new agent who was working from home. She hadn't actioned it, so they're going to give me a refund. But my dear daughter turned 22 in May, and she then goes on to, I think it called pre-adult rate, even though she's still a dependent student. And that went up. That was the 140 Rand extra, so gulp. But yes, it will be sorted out. So I think they have been pretty good through this lockdown period. But mistakes have been made. And I think on both sides, I think in some cases, the members thought it would be automatic and didn't send that email. So it didn't happen. But it's not too late.
It's not too late to action it. So freeze@virginactive.co.za. And if you did send that email and it hasn't been actioned on, please do contact them to tell us, because they've put it in writing to us that they will backdate and credit if mistakes were made.
So let us know if that doesn't happen.
Okay. It is problematic that so many people were struggling to get through on their call center, but
absolutely,
try one of the other.
I think all the debit orders went through today, so there would have been a huge
a pylon, as it were.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much for that update, Wendy. I have an update from City of Cape Town. So this is where we are with electricity. Eskom is moving to stage 4 at 3 o'clock, so in 4 minutes from now, and that will continue until 10 p.m. If you are a City of Cape Town customer, you will remain on stage 1 until 4 o'clock and then move on to stage 3. And the city is saying, please urgently reduce usage and switch off all non-essentials. So if you're an Eskom customer, you are about to go to stage 4 and you will stay on stage 4 until 10 o'clock. If you're a City of Cape Town customer, you remain on stage 1 until 4 p.m. and thereafter stage 3. I hope that clarifies things for you. Okay, Wendy, can we squeeze in very quickly an update on the holiday travel story?
Discovery
Vitality's travel agency partner.
Yes, so a lot of people would have booked tickets via their Discovery Vitality benefit. You get discounts on your flights, and their travel agency partner is Holiday Travel, very imaginatively named Holiday Travel, which is 100% owned by Comair. And so I've been getting complaints from people saying, again, long rates for refunds. They were promised in July and then in August, and it still hasn't happened. I'm not going to go into detail because we don't have time, but I did get a response from Dawn Weir, who's the retail travel manager at Holiday Travel. The first is, I think, not entirely justifiable. As travel was classified as a non-essential service, she said we were unable to operate our contact center from the end of March. We do have a small group of skeleton staff working from home via email, attending to international flight bookings. Well, I don't understand why that has to be a skeleton staff. But anyway, this is a time when you need to be overly responsive to your customers, as I keep saying. Holiday Travel is not in business rescue, but we must operate under the guidance of the Comair Business Rescue Practitioner's advice. We act as facilitators for bookings, as John from Travel Start was saying, made with the airlines and other services booked with us. Both Discovery Vitality and Comair are subject to the various airline policies and procedures. Normally, refunds take 4 to 6 weeks, but due to high volumes, we are unable to provide an estimate of how long they will take. But it is up to 6 months. And in this instance, in my complaint, Jacques had been told on the 5th of July that the refund was complete. That was the word. But we only, listen to this, we only received the July batch of refunds on the 15th of August. So it happens in monthly batches from the airlines, not every day. Basically, our finance team, she said, have been working furiously on this file since receipt, because Vitality flights are subsidized via Discovery. Our team are required to meticulously reconcile. Basically, she's saying we will reach out to the customer, Jacques, today, and it will be processed today, so he should have his money within 5 days. So he has an added complication where, because of the discount system, it's taking longer because holiday travel has to cross ref with the Discovery Vitality team. Okay. So that's the discount actually cost people certainly in terms of the delay in
the
refund,
ease of getting the refund. Yeah.
So much complexity in this story, Pippa. But I think ultimately what I've learned and what I think consumers will learn, savvy consumers, will base future travel choices in terms of whether they go direct, whether they go through an agency, and which agency, and which airlines, and which accommodation, and whatever, in terms of how those organizations respectively chose to respond to this pandemic and its extraordinary fallout. I certainly would, and I think it's the wise thing to do. We had a lovely positive story, but we'll have to hold it
for another
time.
Let's keep that for next time, okay? Because it is one that I think is worth reflecting on air. But yeah, the bottom line is customers are making and breaking relationships for life in the way, well, the service providers are making and breaking customer relationships.
Yes,
for life.
I'd like to think, you know, consumers need to be cut them a bit of slack as well and be fair, but there's a limit to that, you know, where services certainly comes in. You might not be able to give money back, but you can keep in communication.
Absolutely.
And you should.
You should. Wendy, thank you so much for doing so much of the communicating and researching for us on this. Wendy's back with us next week, Wednesday. And if you want to send her a case study, please do so by email to consumer@nola.co.za.